And I want to be like Fox News, I guess, and be fair and balanced. Not everyone that claims divine healing is healed. I can't give you all the reasons for that, although I do believe it involves some kind of legal permission that Satan has to someone's life, perhaps by generational curse, spoken curses, or some other reason. I don't know the answers. I do know this. Many people are healed. I see it in virtually all of the services I conduct. I see healings of what doctors have called incurable diseases. I see miracles. And I want to share with you today some of the principles of God's Word. I want to share many, many scriptures with you. You may be surprised how many scriptures about healing are in God's Word. So, divine principles, divine truths, and I pray that they'll stir you to more faith and cause you to believe more and to doubt less. If healing was included in the atonement, and it most certainly was, then it must be that we receive healing like we receive cleansing and forgiveness, the same way we receive burden lifting, deliverance, and restoration by grace and through faith, by asking and believing. Now the scripture says in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and I'll be sharing a lot of scripture. I mean, a lot of scripture. And I just encourage you to let the Word of God minister to you. You know, I thought one day when Mary held that little baby, the innocent Lord Jesus, in her arms, I don't think she had a clue. Maybe she did. But I don't think she had a clue that she was holding the very Word of God, embracing the very Word of God in her arms, the one who spoke, and all things were created by Him and for Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Scripture says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The very Word of God. Do you know when you speak the Word of God today, you speak the very presence of the Lord Jesus in your midst? I want to share a scripture now from Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand. Think about that. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The reference here in Matthew is to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely, surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And Jesus made reference to that verse. After he had healed Peter's mother-in-law, and after he had spoken his word, casting out spirits and healing all that were sick, the Bible says in Psalms 107, verse 20, He sent His Word and healed him. He sent His Word and healed him. Not to heal them. He sent His Word and they were healed. The Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 35, "And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." The question, the debate, the misunderstanding today is not, did Jesus heal? But did He give us any authority? Is there any power available to us today through His Word and through prayer? And the question, without doubt, He did. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave unto them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, saying, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." That's Matthew 10, verses 1 through 8. And then in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 19, we're talking now not about the 12, but about 70. 70 who were like you and I. "And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Jesus said, I know who Satan is. I saw him get kicked out of heaven." Most likely he kicked him out of heaven. He said, "I saw him as lightning fall from heaven." And he said, "I'm giving you power over all the power of the enemy." Now certainly God is no respecter of persons, but He does respect faith in His Word. Faith in His Word. He sent His Word and healed them. Here are a few of the many scriptural reasons why I believe this so strongly. "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." Job 22, verse 28. "Thou shalt declare a thing, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be," he says. "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Proverbs 18:7. The very words that we speak. Now, much damage has been done by taking these scriptures may be too far, by applying them to things that that do not qualify according to Scripture. And you've all heard the name it and claim it doctrine, the blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it. And while there has been much damage done because of that doctrine, may I say unto you, it's true. It's true that what we say, now you say, well, you just contradicted yourself. No, I said I believe much damage has been done by the misuse of those truths. But this is what Jesus said about that. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That's Mark 11:23. Those are the words from the lips of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you say, that's what you'll have if you can believe for it. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's Proverbs 18, verses 20, 21. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. James 3, verse 6. The tongue, our words. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That's Proverbs 21, 23. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. That's Isaiah 57, verse 19. The fruit of the lips, and I will heal him. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs 12:6. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:14. The tongue of the wise is health. And I'm going to repeat that. That's Proverbs 12:18. The tongue of the wise is health. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Proverbs 13:3. The lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 14:3. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 15:4. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. A gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness in it breaks down the spirit. That's Proverbs 15:4. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Proverbs 15:2. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Proverbs 16:23. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. That's Proverbs 16:24. And I'm going to read that again, because it's the opposite of a root of bitterness. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. You can see from these few scriptures that I've shared that God's Word has a lot to say about the words, about what comes from our mouth. And what comes from our mouth, the scripture says, also comes from our heart. And they have great effect on you and your health. Medical science, medical science aids healing through physical means by administering medicine to the physical body. And we've all been to doctors and taken medicine, and thank God for the healing that comes through the knowledge given into the medical science. God's divine healing is spiritual, and it is administered through the human spirit. God sent his word and healed them. The word of God applied to our lives ministers to our spirit. In Proverbs 4, verses 20 and 22, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh.
What?
The words. Attend to my words. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4:20-22. The Bible says in the book of Genesis now, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, we're talking about the word of God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah. This is 2 Chronicles 30:20. The Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah, heard his prayer, and healed the people. Psalms 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast heard me. Psalms 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with thine heart and be converted and be healed. That's Isaiah 6:10. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Psalms 103:3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases. Psalms 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, and the light of 7 days, and the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Isaiah 30:26. Numbers 12:13. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I should go up into the house of the Lord the third day? In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Psalms 6:2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Psalms 41:4. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Psalms 60:2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 3 says there's a time to kill and a time to heal, time to break down and a time to build up. Isaiah 19, verse 22, and the Lord shall smite Egypt, and he shall smite and heal it, and they shall return to the Lord, and shall be entreated of them, and he shall heal them. Isaiah 57, 18, I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Jeremiah 3:22. Return, you backslidden children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Jeremiah 17, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. That's verse 14, and I'm going to read that again. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 13. What things shall I take witness for thee? What things shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. He could not heal you. That's Hosea 5:13. Hosea 6:1, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Hosea 14:4. Zechariah 11:16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that which standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Matthew 8:7. And I love this. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Jesus healed that man, as you know. Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Mark 3:2, and they watched whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Mark 3:15, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. In Luke 4:18, the description, the job description, I believe, of the Lord Jesus. For he spoke these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And I believe that's the key to all of it today, is the presence of the Lord Jesus. And we invite his presence through the Word and by faith, and by faith in his Word. I'm going to read that verse again. That's Luke 5, verse 17. "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. And when he heard of Jesus," this is Luke 7:3, "and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant." Luke 9:2, "and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick." Luke 10:9, "and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." Luke 14:3, "and Jesus answering spake to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And John 4:47, "and when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death." John 12:40, "he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." In Acts 4, verse 30, "by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus." And I have to read that again. "By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus." And I'm going to pause here and share something personal. I was preaching in a prison, a state prison in Beeville, Texas. I noticed a young man on the front row of that gymnasium. About 350 to 400 inmates were present that night. This young man sat on the front, and it seemed as I preached, his eyes were locked on me. It seemed he saw something. It was as though he was looking right through me the entire service. When the service was over, many men had come to Christ to receive salvation. About 80% of the congregation had received deliverance, and many had received healing. When the officers called for the men to return to their dorms two by two, this young man stepped out of the line and walked over to the chaplain. And then shortly thereafter, the chaplain brought him over to me. And he said, "This young man has a word for you." And the young man, almost trembling, he said, "Sir, while you were preaching, I saw something." I knew he did. I didn't know what, but I knew he did. I could tell from the look on his face. He said, "Sir, the Holy Spirit wants me to share this with you." He said, "Hold out your arm." And I stretched out my arm. He stood beside me and laid his arm on top of mine. He said, "This is what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. As you extend your hand soul will he extend his. He said, sir, do you know what that means? I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I do know what it means. That's how healing takes place today. Not that any power is in our hands, but we're commanded to lay hands on the sick. And the promise is that they would be healed. In Acts 4:30 again, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. In Malachi 4:2, the Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That's Matthew 4:23. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Luke 9:6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Luke 9:11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Acts 4:22. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Acts 10:38. One of my favorite scriptures in all of God's Word. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. 1 Corinthians 12:9. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the question here is, certainly not, are there gifts of healing? And have people been given this gift? But whether or not the gifts of the Spirit are active today, that seems to be the question and the debate. And I just encourage you to not blind yourself to that truth, and not, because you've not seen miracles, because you've not experienced it, don't let doubt rule your heart. The gifts of the Spirit are indeed active. And one of those gifts is the gift of healing. Thank God for that. Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. God is a healing God. He always has been. He always will be, and he is today. Matthew 4:24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatics, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Praise God. He's the healer. Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He sent forth his word and healed them. Matthew 8:13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew 12:22. There was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 15:30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Matthew 19:2. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Matthew 21:14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Mark 1:34. And he healed many that were sick of different diseases, and cast out many devils, and allowed not the devils to speak, because they knew him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him just to touch him, as many as had plagues. Mark 5:23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Mark 6:5. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them because of their unbelief. He couldn't do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief, but still he laid his hands on a few and healed them. Mark 6:13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with different diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. There are many, many more scriptures I'm going to share, but I want you to know, healing has always been important to God. It was a primary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was part of the plan of his coming, part of the atonement. And it's received, I believe, like all the rest of the work of the atonement, by grace and through faith. The Bible says he came down with them, this is Luke 6:17, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Luke 6:18. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits came, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. Luke 7:7. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, Luke 8:2. They also which saw it told them by what means that the one who was possessed of devils was healed, Luke 8:36. Luke 8:43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. And yet, in verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Luke 9:11, and the people, when they knew it, followed him and received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and he healed them that had need of healing. Do you have need of healing? I know the healer. He's still in business. He's not sick. He's not nervous. He's on the throne. He's the living, resurrected Lord Jesus. And he's still healing them that have need of healing. I want to share with you some of the reasons for sickness and disease. And I don't want anyone to come under condemnation. I don't want anyone to feel like that your sickness is because of you being a bad person or God not loving you. I believe, as is the case with demon powers, so is the case with sickness, that there must be some kind of legal permission. And I also believe that in virtually every case, demon powers are responsible for sicknesses. And certainly there are exceptions, but I believe doorways and permissions, legal consent before the very judgment throne of God, that if we could find the permissions and cancel them, many times healing comes as a result of that. And I want to share on the second half of this tape some of those reasons, some of the curses that come into our lives, legal, God-given permission for tormenting spirits to torment believers. And I want you to see it as hope. I want you to see a way out of the sickness and of the disease. And I wish I could tell you that everyone who speaks faith and everyone who speaks scripture is always healed. But I've found that not to be necessarily true. Until permissions have been canceled, until we come into full agreement with God's Word, His blood, and His Spirit, then healing does not necessarily come. I can't tell you, I wish I could, that I understand it all. I can tell you I do understand some of it, and God continues to give me revelation and wisdom about this. And I share this tape with you to encourage you, to stir faith in your heart. Jesus is the healer, and God is still in the healing business. And you be encouraged by that. I believe that any hold that Satan has on our life is because of some permission that has always been granted, either in our life or in the lives of our ancestors. I found that to be true in deliverance ministry in every case. I've also found that the permission is very often unconfessed sin. The most damaging that I have found are the sins of anger, roots of bitterness, and unforgiveness. These are the greatest sources of sickness that I've discovered. Not only do these need to be confessed and repented of as sin, but the sickness demon that is there by that permission must be commanded to leave. Listen to the following scripture and how it applies to sickness. For the word of God, this is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The healing medicine of the Word of God. The Word of God that's quick and powerful. It's alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Sharper, you may say, than any surgeon's instrument. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now the following scripture talks about areas of our life where torment is taking place. Psalm 6:2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Psalms 22:17. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Psalms 31:10. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. One of the most common things that I see as a result of unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger are in the area of arthritis and rheumatism, aches and pains, headaches, and the amazing reference to sickness in bones throughout the scripture is what I'm sharing with you now. Psalms 38:3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Proverbs 3:8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. A woman, and I'm certain this is true in the reverse, but a woman who belittles her husband rather than recognizing him and honoring him as the head of the home causes rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Remember, he sent his word and healed them. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A sound heart, Proverbs 14:30, is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Pleasant words as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones, Proverbs 17:22. Habakkuk 3:16, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up to the people, he will invade them with troops. Fear is also a source of sickness. Many times depression is rooted in fear. And fear is a spirit. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Fear has torment, but perfect love cast out fear. Psalms 43 verse 5, the scripture says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health is among all nations. It should be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. For they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. And again, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Acts 8:23. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Bitterness is bondage. Romans 3:14. Excuse me. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness brings defilement. Luke 6:37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. That's Luke 17:3. There are multitudes of scripture concerning forgiveness. But because of time, I want to move to another area. An area that's somewhat touchy to some people. But I feel like it must be discussed. I believe it'll be a help to many, many people. The Bible calls it curse. The Bible speaks often of curse or blessing based upon our obedience or disobedience to God's Word. I would guess that 40 to 50% of the people who come to me for deliverance have demons in their life by permission of Freemasonry, secret lodges, college fraternities, and sororities. That may astound you, but it's true. And I really don't believe that people who get involved in these secret organizations do so for the purpose of inviting demons into their lives. What a ridiculous thing that would be. But I have seen many, many healed. Once the curse is identified and is broken, healed of diseases and sickness that actually were identified perhaps by doctors as there because of genetics. The Bible calls it generational curse. One man who is entangled in Freemasonry told me, "I just joined so I could help crippled children." And another man said, somewhat defensively, "Masons just make good people better." Then there was one 32nd degree Mason who brought his wife to me for deliverance. I didn't know he was a Mason. He said, "I didn't take any vows like what you've just mentioned." And his wife blurted out, "If they're so good and it's so helpful, why do you keep it a secret?" "You see, it's a trap. No believer can take oaths such as you will read in Freemasonry and some that I will expose today and remain in close fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It's just impossible." The noose tightens when the believer is asked if he took such blasphemous oaths. He must either admit that he did, which calls for repentance, or lie. And I think you know what most choose to do, and the bondage increases. Now, I want to make it very clear that I don't condemn people who are Masons. As a matter of fact, I don't believe anyone joins Freemasonry because they're evil or with intentions of becoming evil. And I have many friends who made the choice to join, and I believe they've done it out of ignorance. Most of them tell me something like this: "I never go. I just joined because someone asked me and I thought it was an honor to be considered." And others say something like, "I thought it might help me in my business ventures and associations," and so on. Well, I would like to see every believer free from the curses of Freemasonry. And so I'm going to share with you some prayers of release from involvement that you may be involved in, your ancestors may have been involved in, and I have seen many, many people healed as they go through these prayers, breaking the curse that comes through the oaths and the secrecy, the pledges made to demonic entities. A significant number of people have reported healings and have been healed of things as long-term headaches and epilepsy by repeating the prayer that I'm going to share with you now. If you have an involvement with Freemasonry, the Eastern Star, Demolay, Rainbow Girls, or anyone in your ancestry has been involved in that, I urge you to pray this prayer with me for a release from the effects of the curse of Freemasonry. This is the prayer. Father God, Creator of heaven and earth, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. I come as a sinner seeking forgiveness and cleansing from all sins committed against you and people who are made in your image. I honor my earthly father and mother and all of my ancestors of flesh and blood, and of the spirit of adoption and godparents, but I utterly turn away from and renounce all their sins. I forgive all my ancestors for the effects of their sins on me and my children. I confess and renounce all of my own sins. I renounce and rebuke Satan and every spiritual power of this affecting me and my family. I renounce and forsake all involvement in Freemasonry or any other lodge or craft by my ancestors and by myself. In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce and cut off witchcraft, the principal spirit behind Freemasonry. And I renounce and cut off Baphomet, the spirit of Antichrist and the spirits of death and deception. I renounce the insecurity, the love of position and power, the love of money, avarice or greed, and the pride which would have led my ancestors into Masonry. I renounce all the fears which held them in Freemasonry, especially the fears of death, fears of men, and fears of trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. I renounce every position held in the lodge by any of my ancestors or myself, including master, worshipful master, or any other. I renounce the calling of any man master, for Jesus Christ is my only master and Lord. He forbids anyone else from having that title. I renounce the effects of Masonry passed on to me through any female ancestor who felt distrusted and rejected by her husband as he entered into and attended any lodge and refused to tell her of his secret activities. I also renounce all obligations, oaths, and curses enacted by every female member of my family through any direct membership of all women's orders of Freemasonry, the Order of Eastern Star, or any other Masonic or occultic organization. I renounce the entrapping of others into Masonry and observing the helplessness of others during the rituals. I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I receive freedom from all curses of sickness and disease, and receive the healing power and the healing mercies of the Lord Jesus applied to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may be surprised to find or to learn that sickness and disease are in the lives of many people because of the curses involved in Freemasonry. I want to share a couple of things with you that may shock you. In the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, vows are made to demon powers called Demolay, Hiram Abiff, Frederick of Persia, Micah, Maka, Balaam, and Adonai. All of these demonic entities are called upon in Freemasonry. Also in the Blue Lodge, there are obligations and oaths made to Boaz, to the spirit of the Python, which is brought about to squeeze spiritual life out of the individual. Pagan teachings of Babylon and Egypt. And in these, this particular lodge, I see throat, vocal cords, nasal passages, sinuses, bronchial tubes, asthma, the healing in the speech area. The curses involved in that lodge generally affect those areas of life. In the second or fellow craft degree of Masonry, there is vows made, secret words of Shibboleth and Jachin, and healing comes when those vows are denounced in the areas of the chest, in the lung, in the heart. In the third or Master Mason degree, spirits identified as Tubal Cain and Mahabon, high-ranking demonic spirits, Hiram Abiff, vows are made to them. When these vows are renounced, I see healing in the area of the stomach, gallbladder, the womb, the liver, and other organs of the body. And freedom can come, healing can come through renunciation of those vows. But let me say unto you also, sickness is there many times by permission of oaths and vows, not only of Freemasonry, but of sororities and fraternities and other secret lodges. And these are legitimate legal rights for demons to bring about sickness and disease in the lives of believers. Also, it's important to renounce the pagan ritual of the point within a circle involved in Freemasonry. The symbol of the G, the all-seeing eye of Freemasonry, the Mark Lodge, the Master, Mark Master degree, the secret word Japa, more demonic entities, the Holy Art degree, Jabulon, Bull or Baal, On or Osiris, and I run into this demon Osiris many times when the curse of Freemasonry is canceled. Secret passwords of Ama Ruhama. And when I see this power broken, I see healing of the mind, healing of the brain take place. I share this with you because it's real, because I've encountered it, and because I've seen freedom through denunciation of it. The Royal Master Degree, the Select Master Degree, the Super Excellent Master Degree, the Knights of Templar Degree, Demon Powers, Keb Raoth, Mehar Shalal, Hashbaz, all of these must be denounced. And the 18th degree of Freemasonry, the demon powers of Igni Natura, Renovatura, and Integra, all of these must be denounced. The 30th degree of Masonry, demon powers of Stibium and Alkabar, Pharosh and Ka, the sublime princess of the royal secret must be denounced. The 32nd degree of Masonry, the sublime prince of the royal secret, the secret passwords of Fael and Fereshkol, Ahur, Mazda, Ahum, all of these, the drinking of the skull of a human skull, must be denounced for freedom to come. There are many, many other degrees that should be denounced. But I want you to know that I have found much sickness in the body of Christ today as a result of involvement with Freemasonry. I urge you to be free from the curse of your ancestors. And though you may not even know that you have Freemasonry in your ancestry, I urge you to denounce it just in case you do. Choose to be free from the permissions that were granted to your life by the involvement in occultic activities by your ancestors. God wants you to be free. Speak the word in your life. He sent his word and healed them. I want to share some positive principles from the Word of God with you. I know this. Your faith in the Word of God, spoken on a regular basis, will defeat the powers of darkness. Jesus is the Lord of my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I am forgiven, and I'm free from sin and guilt. I am dead to sin, and I'm alive unto righteousness, according to Colossians 1, 21, 22. I am free from unforgiveness and strife. I forgive others as Christ has forgiven me. For the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Matthew 6, 12, Romans 5, 5. Jesus bore my sins, and in his body on the tree. Therefore, I am dead to sin and alive unto God. And by his stripes I am healed and made whole. 1 Peter 2:24, Romans 6:11, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus bore my sickness and carried my pain. Therefore, I give no place to sickness or pain. For God sent his word and healed me. Psalms 107, verse 20. And here's some prayers, some things that I urge you to speak into your life on a regular basis. And you can make them personal. You can apply them to whatever a part of your life needs the healing work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, because you are the Word, and because of your Word, I am an overcomer. I overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of my testimony. 1 John 4:4 and Revelation 12:11. You have given me abundant life, and I receive that life through your word, and it flows to every organ of my body, bringing healing and health. John 10:10, John 6:63. Heavenly Father, I attend to your word. I incline my ears to your sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life and healing to all my flesh. Proverbs 4:20-22. As God was with Moses, so is he with me. My eyes are not dim, neither are they the natural forces abated. Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. Deuteronomy 34:7. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over me. They keep me in all ways, and my pathway is life, healing, and health. Psalms 91:10-11. Proverbs 12:28. Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Therefore, I refuse to allow sickness to dominate my body. The life of God flows within me, bringing healing to every fiber of my being. Matthew 8:17. I am redeemed from the curse. Galatians 3:13 is flowing in my bloodstream. It flows to every cell in my body, restoring life and health. Mark 11:23. The life of 1 Peter 2:24 is a reality in my flesh, restoring every cell of my body. For I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I present my body to God, for it is the temple of the living God. God dwells in me, and his life permeates my spirit, soul, and flesh, so that I am filled with the fullness of God daily. Romans 12:1-2. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I make a demand on my body to release the right chemicals. My body is in perfect chemical balance. My pancreas secretes the proper amount of insulin for life and health. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Heavenly Father, through your word you have imparted your life to me. That life restores my body, and every breath I breathe, for every word I speak. John 6:63. That which God has not planted is dissolved and rooted out of my body in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 2:24 is engrafted in every fiber of my being, and I am alive with the life of God. Mark 11:23. And you may want to speak. I encourage you to speak to areas of your body where sickness dwells, or where there's a sickness threat. Speak to that sickness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage you to do it many times a day, to call things into being as though they were already there, according to Scripture, to call that which is not as though it is. Allow faith to come alive in your life. Take authority over all the work of the enemy. I encourage you in Jesus Christ's name. God is a faith God. The Bible says and makes it very clear that without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Release all the faith you have. Apply God's word to your life and to your healing. Speak truth into your life. Watch your words, because the power of life and death is in your tongue. Speak health, speak life, speak victory. And remember that God loves you. He wants you well. And I encourage you, by faith, to look for the scriptures in God's word that apply to your life and claim them. Claim them in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be blessed, be whole, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.